This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you for our DraftKings Network audience joining us now. In case you missed any of hour one, remember the Lombardi Line is also available in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. Excited to continue to go through what was a hectic day in the NFL yesterday as we wrap up week eight and also look ahead to the final game of week eight, the Raiders and Lions going head to head on Monday Night Football. But Michael, as we get started here, a lot of interesting results yesterday. Was there a performance that you felt was perhaps the most impressive of the day or even the most disappointing in terms of what we saw on Sunday?
Well, I mean, Joe Burrow takes the cake from where he was in the beginning of the season where he couldn't move, you know, where he gutted out a win in Arizona to barely moving the football against Seattle in the second half to what he did yesterday against, for all what's been said about the Niners, still a very good defense. So to me, that was really good. I think undercurrent, Jacksonville goes into Pittsburgh, you know, where Mike Tomlin's a home dog. Everybody loves that one. And Jacksonville does a great job, doesn't it? Pittsburgh run the football. Pittsburgh, as we said on the show, was going to have to throw the ball to win the game. They couldn't do it. You know, I thought that was really impressive. I thought Jacksonville continues to put impressive wins, even though nobody's really paying attention to it. You know, I think the other thing from a negative standpoint, the Rams have come to run out of gas. I mean, they're out there looking for a gas station and there's nowhere to go, right? I mean, poor Matt Stafford's getting the crap beat out of them. The offensive line isn't good. We talked about Haverstein not being able to play at full strength at right tackle. The left tackle was going to have a trouble blocking the entire time, Jackson. So that was going to be an issue. But this whole Ram team, where they've been able to kind of use mirrors and tricks and, you know, Dr. Oz come on in here to do some magic, they just can't really do it anymore because people have tape on them. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Cowboys, they'll never get any credit for it, but the Cowboys took the game right to them and did that. So to me, the more I watch the league, there's a few good teams and there's a lot of really below average teams.
Yeah.
And we as a covering of them, when the average teams lose, it's disaster. When the good teams win, they're great. Like there's no, it's the old Billy Joel song. It's either sadness or euphoria, somewhere that's in the middle.
Well, and that goes back to a point that I feel like we're bringing up every single week in the NFL is that it's such a week-to-week league, the way that we're evaluating some of these teams. How bad were we talking about the Cowboys just a couple weeks ago when they got lit up by the San Francisco 49ers, and now you see San Francisco sliding on this three-game losing streak, and everybody's talking about, oh, you know, the sky is falling here, but Dallas ends up having this dominant win over the Rams, 43-20, the final there. Even the Chargers yesterday on Sunday night have a tremendous game against the Bears, and it was a fun story for a week with Tyson Bagent, but they got brought back down to reality last night.
Well, I mean, but what we said on the show yesterday, right? This is a game that if you're ever going to play the Chargers, you got to play them, right?
Yeah.
Because the Bears' pass defense is not good. They're going to give you a bunch of completions. You got to be willing to take them, and they were last night. And so what we, and then because the Chargers can play. They have some good players up front, and then they're playing on the road, Chicago Bears. It's hard to run the ball. Put the game in Bagent's hands, and all of a sudden, it's not going to work out. So, and you get that lead at halftime, 24-7. That game's over. You're not playing from behind with a rookie quarterback. It's too damn hard. Hard to play from behind, as Kyle Shanahan will tell you, in the fourth quarter with a veteran quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, I think that was one. I think that was probably one that was too easy to take at the 8.5. As that line went out, I think it ticked up to 9 because when you saw it, you just don't trust the Chargers, but you have to kind of take that bias out and realize they can throw the football effectively.
And as you mentioned, Michael, for Survivor, more than half of the remaining entries here, at least at Circa, were on the Chargers yesterday. Unscathed in the top 5 as of right now. So the Chargers and the 635 entries that backed them get through. The next highest total was the Ravens, followed by the Lions, who are to be decided tonight. The Bills got through earlier this week, and the Miami Dolphins, who close out the Patriots, which, by the way, Tua Tagovailoa, the first quarterback to go 6-0 to start against Bill Belichick, 6-0 ATS as well for that win. But we have the Lions on display coming up tonight against the Raiders, a 7-point spread in that one where we've been seeing seeing some love to this team from Vegas on the road. It was 7.5 largely this week, and now we're seeing the 7 total, 46.5.
It's strange, right? It opened the look ahead was 7.5. It went to 8, 8.5. It got to 9 early in the week. And then there was no Raider money at all. 4% of the money was on the Raiders early in the week up until yesterday. And then it started to move back down. Stayed at 9. Then it came back down to 8.5. And now it's gone all the way down to 7, which is shocking, right? I mean, and it's still not a lot of money coming in on the Raiders on the board that I look at in terms of some of the other shops outside. So, you know, this is what happened yesterday too, right? We said this on the show. Yeah, a lot of pros are after Green Bay. How'd that work out for you? Right? You know, it's like sometimes where this money goes, it doesn't make any sense. It did come in on Washington yesterday too. But that was, if you got Washington at 6.5, like a lot of people did early in the week, you know, you got Philly at 6.5, you covered. If you got him at 7, you didn't. So, you know, for me, this is going to be a really hard game for the Raiders because they're going to have to throw the ball. And what we've known about the Raiders this year is they can't throw the ball without turning it over. In the games where they haven't been competitive, they've had Buffalo three turnovers, right? Mm. Last week they had 3 turnovers. I mean, they don't throw the football without turning it over. It's going to be a really hard game. I don't understand why more people aren't on the Lions. I don't see that one.
The one thing that I will say to the Raiders' credit, and while yes, that 18-point loss last week against Chicago was terrible, they do typically play in closer games. I was looking into some numbers this morning. 75% of their games since the start of last season have been one-score games, tied with the Minnesota Vikings for the most in the NFL in that time, which I did find interesting and didn't really realize until you start looking at the larger sample size. So from that standpoint, I get it. From all of the other standpoints like you just laid out, I'm not so sure that I get it. Today's Sports Equinox Day, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know that. And we at VSiN,
yeah, you told me that,
have put together a Sports Equinox parlay for the wonderful folks over there at DraftKings. And so our portion of that, our contribution, was the Detroit Lions in the first half against Vegas tonight. But because this is the only day of the entire year where you have all four major sports playing at once, we have Monday Night Football in action, so that's our play, but also in the Hurricanes Flyers games over 6 goals, Diamondbacks in game 3 in the first 5, and the Orlando Magic plus 1.5. So if anybody wants to come join us, like the 1,600 people that already have, the payout is just over 11-1 there. That's our VSiN Sports Equinox Parlay on DraftKings Sportsbook, which is just a fun little wrinkle from that standpoint. I'm still trying to figure out what Josh McDaniels was doing last week starting Brian Hoyer. And obviously they get Jimmy Garoppolo back today from the back injury, which is going to be significant for that offense. But I feel like you just cost yourself a potential opportunity to learn more about Aiden O'Connell last week. And it's still been kind of bugging me a little bit.
Yeah, it bugs me. I mean, you know, I didn't understand it either, but you know, they felt like, okay, we're going against a rookie quarterback. Let's not turn the ball over when this guy turns the ball over. The team played to it, too. I think the team looked really, really slow, lethargic. Yeah. I thought they missed more tackles than I've ever seen them miss. It was a game where coming off the high of winning against New England and making plays down the stretch to beat them, to come down there and lay that golden egg against the look, this game tonight was always going to be a hard game. Next mm-hmm. week's game against the Giants is more in their zone where they got a chance to win it based on their talent level. And so, but like you said, they always seem to play games close, but when they don't play, you know, whether it's New Orleans last year or whether it was Jacksonville, when they play sometimes on the road against a team that understands what they're doing, they get blown out. And then they'll play San Francisco as well as you can play them late in the year.
Again, the NFL is just such a weird league.
All matchups.
It's all matchups. Speaking to that, you talked about the push that ended up getting for anybody who waited till later in the week on the Eagles-Commanders game. That was one game, actually, Michael, where I bet it yesterday. And I thought to myself as I was betting it, this was 6.5 all week. I'm going to be so upset if it lands 7. And so I just bought the half a point. And I think that's an important thing to remember too. If you don't like the number, it is okay if you feel confident in it to lay a little bit of juice and get the number that you want so that you're winning the bet versus pushing. But Commanders end up making it close, 38-31. How do they always play this Philly team so close?
You know, I don't have an answer for that. And on paper, they shouldn't, right?
Right.
They can't pass protect. right? They get sacked multiple times by every team, and yet they block Philly for some reason, right? They run the, they average 5-3 a carry in the game, Stormy. They ran the ball on Philly. They had over 400 yards of offense. Like, I don't understand. They've scored 62 points in two games against Philly. You know, and yesterday the score was 7. It was 14. That was a backdoor cover or a backdoor push, how you look at it. But that game really didn't become out of pocket until the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, it really became A.J. Brown's game. I mean, when you look at what he was able to do during the game and the plays he made in jump ball situations, it was just really remarkable. And, you know, they, for some reason, they do. Next week, they go to New England. They will not look like that against New England. I promise you that.
Six straight games now that A.J. Brown has had at least 125 receiving yards. He's playing out of his mind. Jalen Hurts has 4 touchdowns. The injured knee, though, how much of a concern is that? Something we should be keeping an eye on. He apparently stayed in the training room for an extra hour after the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't follow anybody's reporting on that, but I do know this. I watched him walk. And he did not look healthy. He did not look healthy. He had 4 carries in the game, but really they were kneel downs. 2 of them were kneel downs. I mean, he had 2. They didn't call his number. Like, I don't care what the injury report says. He's not 100%. And how about the 2? You know, for all this conversation, how close the game was, if they don't turn it over twice in the red zone on fumbles, they might score 50.
Mm. Good point. That's something I don't think that I've heard a lot of people pick up on. You're dead on there. But again, 38-31, the final from that standpoint. Also did get confirmation. It is a torn Achilles for Kirk Cousins there. His season is done with the Minnesota Vikings. We'll revisit the Vikings when Albert Breer joins us in about 20 minutes or so. But we got to step into the office when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Sports Equinox Day, ladies and gentlemen, where all 4 major sports are in action today. And to celebrate, you can bet the VSiN Sports Equinox Parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook. Our 4-team parlay includes Hurricanes Flyers over 6 goals tonight, the Lions laying 3.5 points in the first half of Monday Night Football against the Raiders, Diamondbacks in the first 5, and the Magic plus 1.5 tonight against the Lakers. All you got to do is look for the VSiN Sports Equinox Parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. You can find it in the Sports Equinox section. The crown is yours.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk where step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Yes, and Michael, I know in your time as a 3-time Super Bowl winning NFL executive and strategist, you've had to have a lot of tough conversations. You've had to have some people sit down at the desk and tell them what's up. I need you to do that with Kyle Shanahan here today, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. After the 5-0 start, San Francisco has now dropped 3 straight. Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy has looked like a different guy as well when it comes to the interceptions. 5 picks in 3 games. That's more than he had in 14 combined games prior to this recent stretch, and the defense has struggled as well. So if you're talking to Kyle today, how concerned should he be about the state of his team, and what can he do to turn things around?
Well, I think the hardest thing for any NFL head coach is in the middle of the season is figuring out what's wrong with your team. And that's what, Kyle, you have to do. You got the bye week, which is the greatest time. And without having the end in mind, you need to sit down and watch the games over and over and over again. Just you. And formulate what's actually wrong with your team, because everybody on the outside is going to tell you what's wrong with your team. Brock Purdy turns the ball over too much. You can't rush the passer. You know, you're not good in the fourth quarter. You're not scoring enough points. You don't run the ball. But only you really understand your team to the level that it's going to need to fix the problems. And obviously you have some problems, and you've got to figure out, is it players? Is it the scheme we're running defensively? Is it the coaching? Are we changing the scheme too much? Have people caught up with our scheme from last year? I think all those questions have to get addressed. Now, you built an organization on the defensive front. You built an organization on being able to pressure the quarterback. And when you can't do that, You and I both know the back end isn't going to work. So you've got to figure out what the problems are. We know the last 3 weeks you've averaged 17 points a game. We know this. So you got to start faster. You got to protect the football. And you're going to have to figure out what you need to do offensively to change the course of this. And then down the road, you better figure out why you can't come from behind in the fourth quarter. Yeah. I know why you can't, but you're going to need to figure out why you can't.
A team that seemingly needs to play with the lead from the jump. They are still a co-favorite with the Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC and an odds-on number in the division, but we'll see if they are aggressive at tomorrow's trade deadline. Another team that's got some of those questions about what they might do in the next 24 hours, the Minnesota Vikings, as we bring head coach Kevin O'Connell into the office. They started the season 1-4, but have reeled off three straight wins. It looked like maybe they could make a run in that NFC North. Then Kirk Cousins goes down with a season-ending Achilles injury. How should O'Connell handle the loss of his quarterback that had been playing at a really, really high level as of late and the Vikings' uncertain future?
Well, I think what you need to do is you need to just handle the situation the best you can, because there's no quarterback out there who's going to save your season. You haven't been able to run the football effectively. Kirk has kind of carried you. Other than the red zone turnovers earlier in the year, you would have a much better record, would have clearly beaten the Chargers and some other teams. So, look, you've got a good nucleus. Your team believes in you winning. You can't lose that. You can't lose that. You've got to play to a certain standard and continue that standard and hopefully try to develop a young quarterback, because whatever you decide to do at quarterback next year, whether it's re-sign Kirk back or whether it's go find a draft pick, it's all going to come down to your ability to develop the team around. So without Kirk, you're going to have to change what you do offensively. Like, no one's coming in to take his spot. You can't do that. We know that. So it's time to get on with the new era. And if Kirk comes back, that's great. But at least now you have an idea about what you're going to build the team around. It's going to be tough sled, and you know that. Mm-hmm. The defense has improved. What you have to improve is your run game.
Tough for them to lose such a key cog. Was leading the league for touchdown passes with 18, tied with Tua Tagovailoa, second in passing yards. How about Jordan Love, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers? After the 2-1 start, it has been rough as of late.
Can I bring in LaFleur with them too?
Go for it. Yeah. Go for it.
I mean,
he said we're a mess, look, right now. So what? You talk to him. Sit them both down at the table.
Well, I mean, if you're a mess, you got to figure it out. I mean, you've already had your bye week. What did you do on the bye week, right? I mean, if you've already had the bye and you come back off the bye and you say you're a mess, what have we been doing, right? So, look, I think that your biggest issue, and I'm going to keep saying this to you, Matt, is defensively you don't get enough out of your team. I mean, you've got way better talent over there than you do than the production. You know, now I know you really believe in Joe Barry. I get that. But, you know, there's times where you just can't ignore what goes on. The fact that you don't play great run defense against Denver, who can only run the ball. You want Russell Wilson to. You can only play, you know, you give up 211 yards rushing at home to Detroit. You give up 211 to Atlanta. Something's wrong here. And to me, the problem you have is because you're a subcontractor, all you care about is the offense, which isn't going very well either, by the way. 25th in yards, 21st in points scored. You can't throw the football effectively. You're 29th in the league in interceptions thrown, and you can't make explosive plays. You're 22nd in yards per attempt. So you're not even handling what you handle. So I think what you really need to do is maybe turn over the play calling to someone else and become a head coach. This would be the perfect opportunity for you to become a head coach. Go into the defensive rooms, try to get them on side, because right now there's such a disconnect on your team. The team is splintered, right? Nobody believes in the offense and no one believes in the defense. You've created one turnover per game since opening weekend. And you can't rush the passer like you need to for the amount of money you put into edge players. It's disappointing, and I think you got to go back and fix it.
And I will say, Michael, while the slow starts have been bad for LaFleur and the Packers, it's been good for us as bettors if you've been fading him on the first half. Outscored the last five games 73-9, and I know we cashed that yesterday with the Minnesota Vikings. How about Mike Vrabel? He doesn't need a talking to, obviously, head coach of the Tennessee Titans, but I think he needs some advice as it pertains to his quarterback situation and similarly what they want to do at the trade deadline. Will Levis had an outstanding performance in his rookie debut yesterday, four touchdown passes as Ryan Tannehill's dealing with the high ankle sprain. Is it time to stick with the young quarterback, give him a chance, or should Tannehill be QB1 the rest of the way?
No, I think we've moved. Look, we know Tannehill's not going to be on the team next year. And we're going to have to go down the road as far as we can go down the road with Will Levis to see where we are. And once we get down that road, we'll know what to do once we get there. But right now, we have no idea. We need to collect data. And we're going to keep trying to win because yesterday he gave us a great chance to win. We were a home dog in the game to a team with a rookie quarterback, essentially, in Desmond Ridder. So we're a home dog in that game. And he came in and played really, really well. And so let's keep going down this road and we'll try to strengthen the team around us. And unless somebody knocks our socks off, why would we trade? We are in a position of strength, not a position of weakness. Teams that are in a position of strength, saying no is a smart thing. Saying yes to anything is not really good. And you always want to put yourself in that position. And I think he can do a really good job of that.
Let's go to the Indianapolis Colts. Producer Elliot and I are commiserating because both the 49ers and Colts on three-game skids right now. It's not great. And for Gardner Minshew, since he has taken over the job for the injured Anthony Richardson, has done, just 9 turnovers in 3 games, Michael, that have resulted in 41 points for the opposition. Gardner is sitting in the office. What can he do to salvage his season and future in the NFL?
I think, Gardner, you need to tell your head coach that you are not. I know this is going to shock your head coach, but you're not Jalen Hurts. You know, you need to go tell your head coach that you are not Phillip Rivers. You know, you need to go tell your head coach you're a backup quarterback who got beat by New Orleans last year at home when you played for Philly because you turned the ball over in that game. Right? Now, I also think you got to tell your head coach he's not as good a defense as he thinks he is. Because they gave up 511 yards to an offense that was struggling all year long. Gave up 161 yards on the ground. They've given up over 300 yards the last 2 weeks to New Orleans and Cleveland on the ground. So we know they're not playing good enough defense. So we're going to slow the game down. I know he wants to run what he runs because he had these great players. But at the end of the day, he really doesn't have those great players anymore. And he's putting too much on your plate. And the more you get on your plate, the more prone you are to make mistakes. So you got to go in there and talk to him. And you got to go tell him, say, look, you know, I am not Jalen Hurts. I got to throw a rhythm passing game. We got to run the ball. And you know what? We may have to punt here. But the more we turn the ball over, the more chances we're going to lose this game. I know he loves the fact that we're 6th overall in the league in offense, right? We're 6th overall in the National Football League in offense, points scored. But just so you might want to remind them, you're 32nd in the league in points allowed defensively. You're 28th in the league in points and yards allowed. So for all that you give, you take. You might want to remind them of that.
And 3-5 when it comes to the record as well. That was a game that we hadn't had a chance to talk a lot about. Derek Carr finally has the yards and the scoring production and the win. We haven't seen that in a while for the Saints. So we're going to take a break here, but excited to converse all things trade deadline. Albert Breer, NFL reporter, is going to join us coming up next. It's going to be a great conversation. Looking forward to it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We are just around 24 hours away from officially it being trade deadline day. Last year, there were a record 11 trades involving 13 players made on the deadline day. What will we get tomorrow to help us discuss? We welcome in Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer, the MMQB senior NFL writer and lead content strategist. This is going to be an exciting next 24 hours or so. Albert, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Appreciate you joining us. I think the big name and big team everybody's really talking about today is the Minnesota Vikings after the injury to Kirk Cousins. And you were quick to Twitter yesterday to say you think the right move is to sell. Why?
Just because, this has been a reset year for them from the beginning. They made the decision in the offseason after winning 13 games. I think it was the right one to lean into the vision of Kwesi and Kevin there. And they took on $30 to $40 million in dead cap. They reworked some veterans. They got rid of some other guys like Adam Thielen and Eric Kendricks and Dalvin Cook. And this is always going to be their reset year. I think you saw at the beginning of the year, they've gotten hot more recently. And so, I think that complicated some things for Kevin, where you know, you do want to reward the players that you have in the locker room and give them a chance to compete. But then Kirk goes down yesterday. And I think that's sort of the tipping point where you at least explore what you can get for some of your veterans. And to me, the big name to watch there will be, you know, obviously Danielle Hunter, who is in a contract here, probably won't be re-signed. If they could get like a second round pick for him, I think that they would seriously consider it. I don't think there's going to be a fire sale there because, again, they're back in contention. But, you know, based on kind of the strategy that they've, you know, laid out over the last years, kind of like when Buffalo, you know, rebuilt in 17 and 18, this is the reset year. And so, you know, accordingly, I think it makes sense for them to look at what they can get for some of the veteran guys in their roster.
And what do you think they would do? I mean, would they say yes to a second? And what team do you think is the one most hot in the pursuit of Hunter?
Yeah, I think they would say yes to a second, Michael. You know, now there are a few teams that I think would be involved in this. Detroit be one to watch. You know, now you say they wouldn't do a deal in the division, but these two general managers do have some history of doing deals. They did the deal for Jameson Williams in the draft a couple of years ago. They did the deal last year in season for TJ Hockenson. So there is some history there. I think Detroit would be one team to watch. And then the other one that nearly did a deal for Hunter over the summer, that I think is a really interesting one, would be Jacksonville. Now, you know, how far is Jacksonville willing to go to get that sort of deal done? I'm not sure. But certainly I think for the Jaguars, that would make sense for them to circle back and see if there's something to be worked out for Danielle Hunter.
What about for the San Francisco 49ers, who find themselves in a 3-game losing streak right mm-hmm. now? It seems like they need something, particularly on defense. Do you think that they'll be aggressive yeah. tomorrow?
Well, I know they've been sniffing around a little on a corner. You know, the problem at corner is I just don't know what sorts of players you have out there that are really going to make you better if you're the Niners. You know, the one I think that, you know, I've sort of heard about over the last, you know, few weeks is Dante Jackson. Now you'd have to take on the money, but coming from Carolina, like he could bolster your secondary. Obviously the biggest name out there would be Patrick Surtain. Denver doesn't want to trade him. But if somebody's going to come and offer more than, you know, what the Rams offered for Jalen Ramsey in 2019, I think they'd at least listen. So corner, I think, would be number one on the Niners list. Like everybody else, they'd like to add an offensive lineman or two. It's just, as Michael knows, it's so hard to find teams willing to part with competent offensive linemen, even if those teams aren't in contention. So, you know, I think if there were some offensive line help out there, the Niners would be all ears. I just don't know where that's going to come from.
And how about the Rams? What are you hearing about them? I mean, Stafford looks like he's hurt and probably will continue to get hurt.
Yeah.
Their roster's not very good. I mean, they've got a couple good players, but there's no depth. Do you think they go into just sell mode here, leading
you
to think,
I mean,
do they trade
Michael,
Aaron Donald, or do they keep going down this road?
Yeah, I mean, Donald, like, I think they would only move him if he wanted to be moved. Like, if he went in there and said, like, yes, I want you to look at sending me to a contender. I've only got the rest of this year, maybe next year left. I don't think we're going to compete over the next year and a half. And say like his hometown Steelers, you know, he lives there in the off season, you know, if Pittsburgh were willing to part with something good to get him, maybe they would think about that, but I think they would leave that up to Aaron. I just don't know beyond Aaron Donald, maybe Cooper Kupp, you know, which pieces you have that are really of interest to other teams. And based on, you know, how far in they are on the money with both those guys, it just seems like it'd be a complicated deal to do here before the deadline. I'm with you. Like this is, you know, like I just talked about with Minnesota, this is the Rams reset year. They got $75 million on their books in dead money. And, you know, I think at one point they had 19 rookies on their 53-man roster, which, as you guys know, that's not a youth movement. That's because, you know, of the position that they're in financially right now. So I think they would listen on veterans. I'm just not sure how many veterans they have that would be of great interest to other teams.
Albert Breer joining us here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Albert, the Kansas City Chiefs lost yesterday as well, and it seems like outside of Travis Kelce, they don't have a lot of confidence mm-hmm. in that wide receiver core. Could they be in the market there to make that group better?
I think they would sniff around. Yeah. I mean, some of the names, you know, you hear out there now, the Titans are going to listen on all their contract year guys. So You know, it obviously brings up the question, could the Chiefs circle back on DeAndre Hopkins? They looked at him in the offseason. That became a non-starter for them after they signed Donovan Smith. That kind of took the salary slot that they had set aside for Hopkins. I think that they have to be real honest with themselves about where they are with their young receivers. You know what you're going to get in Valdez-Scantling. You know what you have in Hardman. The two guys they drafted pretty high the last couple of years, Rashee Rice this year, and then last year, Sky Moore. I think Andy and Brett and those guys are going to have to be very honest with themselves about where they are and where they can get those guys by January. So I certainly think they would be, out there at least looking at what's available help-wise. Like, would Minnesota listen on KJ Osborne, who is a really good slot receiver, who is in a contract year, who Minnesota might not keep because, they've got to go pay Justin Jefferson now, and they just invested a first-round pick in Jordan Addison. Maybe that would be the sort of idea you would look at. Or do you see if Denver's willing to trade in division with either Judy or Sutton? There are some ideas out there, where they could go and make a move. But I think the core of this is they got to be honest with themselves about where they are with their young players.
Yeah. How about two-part question, Albert? Is Josh Harris going to allow the Washington front office to make moves, even though there may be a new front office in Washington?
Yeah.
And which one gets traded? Will Chase Young get traded or Sweat?
So, like, I was told, that the weekend's result was going to affect this. And, I think for Ron Rivera and Martin Mayhew, like, those guys can help you hold on to your job. So I think this is where the job security thing becomes a little complicating for your ability to get a deal done. I think right now there will be more interest in Sweat just because he's healthier. Like, there's not the medical history there. And I think, like, he might be even a little more signable than Chase Young at this point. I think Chase Young wants to play his contract out and get to free agency. The question becomes, like, what the Commanders' desire is as far as holding on to one of those guys. And I think if you'd asked them in the summer who they were trying harder to re-sign, they would have told you it's Montez Sweat. So, I think if all things were equal and they were offered a second round pick for each of them, they would probably part with Chase Young before they would part with Montez Sweat. I just think that there'd probably be a little bit more interest in Sweat right now based on signability and health than there would be in Young.
And while we're talking defense, we did just see a deal come through that the Seahawks, who actually lead the NFC West right now over the 49ers, are finalizing a deal to acquire Giants defensive lineman Leonard Williams. Does that move the needle for you, Albert?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, and they've been looking for defensive line help. They've been looking for edge rush help, actually, for the last couple of weeks. They were actually looking at potentially offloading Daryl Taylor before Nwosu got hurt, and they were looking at a couple of the guys out there, and they talked to a couple teams about edge rushers. Josh Uche from New England was one of them. And so it doesn't surprise me that they would go and get help on their D-line. Obviously, Leonard Williams isn't an edge rusher, but he does satisfy the need that they have to add a little something up front. And, Leonard Williams is obviously a pricey player, but he can bring something to your defensive line. And, for the Giants, I think it makes sense because you had a little bit of a logjam there salary-wise carrying both Dexter Lawrence's new contract and what you previously paid Leonard Williams.
Albert, I have like 50 more questions for you, but we're up against a break. Thank you for doing this. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Have a fun trade deadline day. That's the real holiday that is tomorrow, not Halloween,
yeah,
right?
It is. Well, I mean, like, this trade makes sense. Like Albert said, they got so much money tied up in Lawrence, and Williams hasn't been what they thought he was when they traded him, and they get a two back for him along with a fifth round pick. And for John Schneider, he gets another guy to play next to Jones inside. So they're bulking up the inside of their defensive line, which I think is a good thing. They got to get Williams to play at a higher level, but that's a good deal.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Today is the only day of the year where all four major sports are in action. It's the sports equinox. We got Monday Night Football, World Series Game 3, 11 games in the association and 9 in the NHL. And to celebrate, you can bet the VSiN Sports Equinox Parlay at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Here's our four-teamer. Multiple shows have contributed to this bad boy. We put in Lions minus 3.5 in the first half for today, Monday Night Football. In the NHL, Hurricanes, Flyers over 6, Diamondbacks first 5, and the Magic plus 1.5 against the Lakers. Join the 1,600 people who have placed this bet. Payout just over 11-1. You can do so again at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. The VSiN Sports Equinox Parlay. So much fun. We just had a great conversation a little bit ago with Albert Breer, who does wonderful work for the MMQB Sports Illustrated, very in tune to the NFL, Michael. And curious what some of your big takeaways were from him as we were discussing the trade deadline coming up tomorrow.
Well, I think everything that he talked about is equated to value, right? So Minnesota will only get rid of Danielle Hunter if it's for two, which now we just saw Leonard Williams, who's not near the player that Danielle Hunter is, go for a two. But they're both going to be free agents at the end of the year. So we saw Seattle pay the price for a two. Now the Giants get that two back and they say it's probably going to be a low two because Seattle's in the NFC are going to make the playoffs. We know this, right? So, or at least they should based on being 5 and where they are sitting right now and with the 49ers and all that. So my sense of it is unless you're willing to overpay a little bit, Seattle did, you're probably not going to get any of these guys. And I do think teams will be willing to overpay because there is a huge split of good and bad. The Washington thing is worth watching because I think he nailed it, right? He talked about Sweat being the guy. Like, everybody wants Sweat. Chase Young is the popular media guy because he was a second overall pick. They're not running because he thinks he should get $40 million a year. That's going to be a hard guy to sign. So I'd be interested to see what happens in Washington because with that loss yesterday, where are they going? Like the Giants, that loss yesterday was twofold, right? They lose a game they should have won. Where are they going? Even if they come out and beat the Raiders next weekend, where are they going, right? They should sell their assets that they have and prepare for next year. You know, Shine and Daboll, they made the playoffs, right? They're not getting fired if they have a bad year. Why not fix the team the correct way? Start collecting more draft. If somebody wants to give you something for Waller, take it. If somebody wants to give you something for somebody else that you want to get rid of, take it. You're not winning it. I know Daniel Jones is coming back, and God knows if you had the first pick of the draft, you wouldn't pick a quarterback. We get that. But that's what I think you should do. Meanwhile, the Jets are sitting there thinking they're going to be a playoff team when they should be tanking too. They should be adding a top five pick to a team with Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Yeah, Michael, they're four and four. They think they're getting Rodgers this year, though. That's why they're 4-4. They think they're making the playoffs and they're getting Rodgers.
It's absurd. It's absurd. That win, every Jet fan's happy that they won the game. You should have been unhappy. You should be happy you should have lost the game so you could really kind of get a. How do you think the Niners got Nick Bosa? Think they got Nick Bosa because they were so smart? Of course they didn't. The Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. They got a top pick. That's how you got him. And Kyle wasn't getting fired if he lost games, right? We forget that, right? We forget Kyle went through that Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard era where, you know, nobody was saying he was going to get fired. And so they collect Nick Bosa next year. They're back in the playoffs again. Like, that's what the Jets should do. Like, what are the Jets kidding themselves? Where are they going? They gave up over 200 yards rushing to a team that could only run the ball, and they didn't run the single wing. I could have gotten it if the Giants got 200 yards if they were running the wishbone. But they were just handing the ball off to Barkley.
Which, by the way, one of my favorite takeaways from the game yesterday was that with Tyrod Taylor out, I keep on wanting to call him Danny DeVito. That's so bad. I'm sure he gets that all the time. Tommy DeVito in. If he were to get injured, then it would have been Saquon and the Wildcat the rest of the way. That's how they would have been at the quarterback position.
It was Saquon and the Wildcat anyways. I mean, everybody's saying, I heard somebody say today, Robert Saleh deserves a lot of credit for hanging in there. What are you talking about? He should have been in goal line defense from the time that Tyrod Taylor went out. There was no way you were going to run the ball. They should have been in goal line. They should have been in. There's put six defensive linemen in the defensive line and say, okay, Giants, block us now. Force them to throw the ball. They kept handing it off.
That was just
and they got 200 yards.
Across the board, Michael, that was just a brutal watch for 58 minutes. Things got interesting, and we had some fun, and we had some fireworks there late in an overtime. But, boo, that was just a brutal, brutal game. And brutal for bettors, too, because you go through all of that, and you still only get the push on the three. Which, okay, real quickly, because we're talking trade deadline, obviously, I think from a betting perspective, it's important to kind of lay out what that could mean for anything that happens in the next 24 hours and how that could impact a team going into this coming week or two and those players getting implemented. What would your advice be to bettors as we kind of manage watching the market this week?
It's a little bit of who the guy is. Let's say Danielle Hunter gets traded, right? Wherever he goes, he's going to rush the passer on sub down. He's going to play nickel and he's going to impact right away. So there's one that's going to impact. Whereas if they take a receiver or if you take a running back, it's hard to integrate them into the offense because they got to learn the plays, learn the protections. If you get a defensive player, it's pretty easy. You know the call, just go play your position. So a lot of it has to do with the defense to the offense. If you take a guard or a, you know, it's hard to get them going. Now, I know CJ McCaffrey got going in San Francisco, but, you know, it kind of was a little bit, he played in that offense before, similar to it at Stanford. So, you know, each case is different, but usually with offensive players, it takes a little bit of time to get them up to speed right away. Defensive players, no. So if Hunter goes somewhere, he'll make an impact. But what I think's happened today is, I disagree with Albert on one thing. If somebody's willing to give up a two for Leonard Williams, somebody's liable to give up a low one for Hunter. Mm. Somebody's liable to give up and figure, look, I can franchise him, so I'll get 2 years out of him, right? So if you're San Francisco and I give up my one, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I get Danielle Hunter and I know I have him for 2 years. I'll just franchise him next year. He's 30 years old. We'll go from there.
Yeah, the Vikings.
Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Are you going to get a better player at 29, 30, 31, 32? Probably not, you know? And then if he's out there in free agency in the third year, would you get a compensatory three back? Would somebody overpay him? Probably.
Michael, the Vikings, the way that we've talked about what this team was going to do at the trade deadline over the last, let's say, 4 weeks, has just gone up and down like a roller coaster. And now, unfortunately, with Kirk Cousins done for the year, it feels like a position where they need to be sellers and need to see what they can get. And if it could be a one, I'm sure that they would gladly take it.
Oh, but they'll take it.
Yes.
I think for today, I mean, based on that Williams deal, if you're giving up a two for Williams, then Hunter's worth more than a two, right? Hunter's worth more than a two. And if somebody's picking in the top, like the Claypool deal, when Chicago gave up their two for Claypool, that's like getting a one. They did get a one. They got the 32nd pick. I could see somebody doing that. But if one of these playoff contender teams are going to trade for Hunter, it's probably going to have to cost them something there. And they may have to give something back. Minnesota, I mean, but to me, that would be the deal. Because if Williams goes for a two, Hunter's worth more than that in this market. And if there's competition, because look, Jacksonville, he could be the difference in Jacksonville's team getting to the Super Bowl. He really could. You get him down there in Jacksonville to go with Josh Allen and maybe Trayvon Walker gets some rep. And all of a sudden, your pass defense becomes better, right? All of a sudden, you're kind of right there. And now you're, instead of picking... You know, you're giving up the 28th, 29th, 30th pick in the draft. Are you giving up that much? Especially if you get something back. Plus, you know, you can franchise them.
Michael, I mentioned going into Albert that last year there were a record 11 trades done with 13 teams involved last year's trade deadline on the day. Do you think that we're going to have that type of fireworks tomorrow? Will it be really busy?
I think it will be because there's got to be a lot of sellers. The Giants should be sellers. The Jets should be sellers. Like, I'm not talking about selling what you should sell are players that aren't going to be on your team next year that you know, right? You're not going to win the Super Bowl, the Jets. Rodgers ain't coming back to save you. And nobody comes back off an Achilles, not even the great Bill Berman. I mean, it's hard, right? So just play it. Just go through it. I think there's so many sellers out there. Washington, sell them. You know, there's teams that you should do that. Now, if you think you have a better chance, now I'm not telling you to make a stupid deal, but don't fall in love with your players.
I'm excited for when we're on the air tomorrow because we'll be getting a lot of that news and notes as we are here. But and just to round out your thoughts there, our recent pro tip of the hour, we do these every day, every show. Just for the trade deadline coming up tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, let's not overreact to these transactions in the immediate week 9 future. These new additions often take some time to make an impact. So it's very, very positionally, as Michael referenced. Again, daily free betting tips available at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. Great show as always, my friend. I will see you tomorrow.
You tonight. It's your call. I'm abstaining from it. I'm like it's Lent for me. I'm abstaining. I'm not going. I can't do it.
Don't hate me. It's the
I agree. Just go
Lions
off the air for me. That's I get it. Okay. I get it. I completely
Lions
understand.
First half for sure, but I think for the game too. Don't hate me.